Let's go before the Father in prayer as we approach the Word. Because every time we come to the Word of God, every time we come to the Word of God, it should do one of two things, sometimes both. It should either form a new belief about God, or it should reinforce a belief you have about God, or it should do both. And so the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. I mean, it is sharp. It's awesome that God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness through the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, God, that today, as I minister the Word, God, that it will just go into our hearts, God. It will go into my heart. It will go into the people's heart. Father, that we would hear from heaven, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us. God, that we would, our faith would rise up on the inside and that you would be glorified. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this year, I'm doing a little spin on Christmas at the movies, okay? Christmas at the movies. But don't worry, I'm not just going to talk about movies. I'm talking about the Word of God. So turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. This is kind of where I'm going to be going today regarding Christmas at the movies. First of all, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas time. I have always loved Christmas time. It's just a thing. I like Christmas time. My dad is a big Christmas fan. You know, he's always been that way as well. Just, you know, I love the lights. I don't like snow. Okay. But I do love lights.
Okay.
And I like Christmas trees and palm trees that are decorated in Christmas. Boy. But no, that's all right. God has me in New York, so I have to like the conifers. Now, you've heard me tell the story 1,000 times since this church started that when I was a kid, my first trees I would draw were coconut trees. How many can relate? We got some folks that grew up in Jamaica. You know what I'm saying? You draw the two curved lines, right? And then you draw the branches out. And then you draw the little dots for the coconuts, right? I'm telling you, that's the way to do it. That is the way to do it. So Christmas time is a great time. And, you know, I've been thinking about Christmas movies. And how, what is it about Christmas movies that just really kind of draw us in? They said that last year alone, I think 30 different Christmas shows were launched last year. 30. I mean, that's crazy, right? So I was reading an article in Psychology Today, and it said that the reason that we are drawn in to Christmas movies is because they connect us to values. They connect us to things that are positive. They connect us to things that should be. And so those are one of the reasons that we're drawn into them. And I think about some of my favorites. Go ahead and just shout out some of your favorite Christmas.
Polar Express.
Okay.
Elf.
Where are my Elf fans in here, right?
Okay.
Home Alone in New York. Okay. What did it say?
A Christmas Melody.
Christmas Melody. I don't know that one. Santa Claus with Tim Allen, right?
Christmas Story.
Frosty the Snowman, a Christmas Story, right? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I personally liked, when I was a kid, I liked The Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just really, that just kind of drew me in. I don't know, as a kid, I remember watching it as a kid. I'm showing my age, but in just a couple of days, on I believe it was December 9th, 1965, that would have been just days before my one-year-old birthday, there was the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Yes.
And so that's the Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown Christmas. And, you know, as I began to prepare for this message today, you know, the whole idea that the cartoonist would take a risk to actually put the Christmas story on national television.
Someone online says it's a wonderful life.
Another one, yeah, it's a wonderful life. Somebody online said that. Okay, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life is a good one too. But a lot of people don't know the backstory here, that Coca-Cola actually sponsored Charles Schulz, who was an accomplished cartoonist, to come up with a Christmas special. And so he comes up with a Christmas special, and they only had days to pitch it to Coca-Cola. They literally, we found out on a Wednesday that Coca-Cola wanted to do it, and they had to be in Atlanta, Georgia on Monday with their ideas. Charles Schulz apparently was a man of deep faith. I actually worked with a lady who worked for him and said that he was very much a man of deep faith and old world values. And what he meant by that was faith, family, and just wholesomeness. And so what's really interesting about the Charlie Brown show is that most of the TV executives, they would have kiboshed it, but they would have killed it. They would have never shown it on national TV. They said it was too religious. Can you imagine? They said it was too religious because they actually read from the scripture.
Wow.
They said it was too religious. This was in 1965. And I think that's fascinating. But some of the critics came out and said it was an amazing, amazing. And it has gone on to be one of the iconic Christmas shows ever. I believe it has to do with the fact that it gets back to the real reason for Christmas.
Amen.
The real reason for Christmas. You're there in John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. The theologians call that the incarnation. I remember as a kid, I heard a pastor say that one time. I was attending my church, and the pastor talked about, well, we're going to celebrate the incarnation. Well, as a kid, I didn't know what incarnation meant. I knew my grandmother used carnation sweet milk and everything. I mean, if it could have sweetened condensed milk in it, my grandmother put it in it. And if it couldn't have sweetened condensed milk, sugar went in it. Okay? I'm talking not just desserts either. Mashed potatoes, I mean, you name it. Macaroni and cheese, sugar went in the mac and cheese, okay? That's just oatmeal, everything, sugar, right? And the sweetness, but what's interesting is as I grew up, the sweetness of the story of Christ made sense to me then. The incarnation, the sweetness that the Word, God's Word, became flesh and became one of us. Why is that so important? It's so important because that was God's way of rescuing all of us. There was a rescue plan. The rescue plan was, I need to send my only son to die for them, to be the bridge between God and man. Because sin had separated us from God. We couldn't get to him anymore. Sin had literally put a barrier, a wall. St. Paul puts it this way. He says, the barrier has been broken down in Christ. Hallelujah. That wall has been broken down. Why? Because he became one of us. The more technical term that you can use when it comes to incarnation, you can always think of sweetened condensed milk. Thank you, grandmother. I called my grandmother Granny. So thank you, Granny. So this, isn't it sweet that Jesus came for us? He was on an assignment for each one of us. And as I think about the importance of the incarnation, you know, at Christmas reminds us of Christ's birth, but it's so much more of a story about a reality that God wanted to reveal himself.
Yeah.
Because when we were separate, we didn't know God. Now, religion tried to explain God, but nobody really knew God. except for the prophets and a handful of people that he revealed himself to. But in the incarnation, that is when he became one of us. The Bible tells us that he was 100% God and 100% man. That's why the virgin birth is so vital. That is what proves it. He wasn't just a man that was born of natural means. He was born of God. And because of that, he lived a sinless life. A sinless life. But yet, he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. Every single way. You think of a temptation? You know? Yeah. And during this season, you might have opportunities. Temptations. I was waiting on a customer yesterday. And I got to tell you, your pastor almost lost his cool. Yes. I just was like, first of all, I thought, this person is very rude. They're rude. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to do my best. Okay, all right, you can do this, Doug. You can do this. And I'm talking to myself, and I'm saying, Lord, this guy is really bothering me. He's just bothering me. And I mean, and so, and apparently he was bothering his wife too. I mean, he was embarrassing himself. And then finally she said, come on, we're going. And he left. But I was like, thank God. He's like, but you know, we're tempted just like he was. Do you know Jesus was tempted too? He was tempted. We were tempted. But he became a man. That's called the hypostatic union for all of you nerds. Okay? Hypostatic union. 100% God, 100% man. And God wanted to show who he really is to mankind. If you've seen Jesus, he told his disciples, you've seen the Father. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. I said this at our retreat. Religion has done a job of keeping us from really knowing God, really knowing what he's like, keeping him at an arm's distance because we're afraid. The very one who can help us overcome in life, the very one who can help us get through difficulties in life, get through challenges, get through temptations, is the one who came to help us. God, the God-man Jesus, came to die, pay the penalty of sin, and to rise from the dead to prove who he was. No one else had ever risen from the dead on their own. He's God. He's the God-man. And so the incarnation is so important. In fact, Colossians 2:9 says this, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God came to live on planet Earth as one of us. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a fantasy that Disney or Netflix or Pixar came up with. This is reality, that the God-man came, breathed in this earth, in this atmosphere, breathed the air that you and I breathe, walked on the water, because he created the water, told the winds to calm, and they did. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And when he hung on that cross, it wasn't because he couldn't get off.
Thank you, Lord.
Because if you think that human beings could have kept him up there, no. Love kept him up there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
God came in the flesh. Years ago, there was a DeGarmo and Key contemporary Christian band that had a song. And at one point in the song, one line has always just stuck with me. Remember that kid from the manger scene. When he comes back, he will reign as king.
Yeah.
When we think about, it's not just a baby. It's about the cross. You see, he saw the cross. And he saw you and he saw me. And he still came. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The incarnation refers literally to the infleshing. The word incarnation, it has to do with coming in the flesh. Coming in the flesh. And Jesus put on flesh and blood, became fully human. Fully human and yet fully divine. He didn't just cease being divine. He was both humanity and divine at the same time. That's why he could speak to the dead and they rose. That's why he could speak to disease and sickness and it left. That's why he could speak to demons and they would say, Jesus, Son of God, don't torture us. Until the appointed time. Where can we go? Can we go over to those pigs? Yes. And he sent them into the pigs. Even demons tremble at his name. We are talking about Jesus.
That's right.
We're talking about Jesus. This is not a Marvel story that's got good graphics. I believe when we get to heaven, we get to see a replay of it all.
Glory.
I'm going to be on the front row.
Glory.
Right? Because I read the back of the book.
Yeah.
And I believe we won.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do anything to not be on the winning team. Right? I don't even want to come close to looking like I'm on the other team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We want to live for him. We want to glorify him. We want to just magnify the name of Jesus. The Word, when it says the Word became flesh, refers to his eternal divine nature. In the beginning with God, and who himself is God, from John 1:1. He's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. We are talking about the Word of God becoming flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
The incarnation. This is such a vital point. The reason why I loved the Charlie Brown Christmas show is because they talked about the incarnation.
Yeah.
They read out of Luke's gospel the incarnation. The shepherds watching their flocks. Remember Linus?
Oh.
Right? With his little blanket, right? I was that kid. I was the kid who had the blanket. You know, I had a blue blanket. It made me Superman when I was a kid. Yes, it did. It went with me. It was a light blue blanket, sort of like Linus's, too. I don't remember whatever happened to it. Normally I keep everything, so it's probably, my wife says, thank God you don't have that blanket. So the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Became. Became does not just mean that he ceased to be God. No, he was both God and man. Flesh has to do with humanity, with the body, with mind, with the humanity that makes up our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, that God actually became flesh. So the eternal Son of God, without ceasing to be God, took on a fully human nature. This is what Christians have long called incarnation. Hallelujah. Incarnation. And so we have this testimony that God has sent his Son into the world so that we could know him. John 3:16, we quote it all the time, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm talking about the incarnation reveals the heart of the Father. That God is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's for you. See, if he wasn't for you, then he wouldn't have sent Jesus.
Come on. Yep.
But he's for you. He gave us his best. Our mentor who is in heaven, he used to quote Romans 8. Turn with me, if you would, there to Romans 8. And he would just get so excited, Pastor Dr. Horace Ward. What a man of God. He's in heaven looking down, cheering those that knew him on. His wife is still here, and she's a blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, hallelujah. Verse 29. Hallelujah. Of Romans chapter 8. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also revealed. Whom he called, these he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? For God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Dr. Ward used to say, if God would give you Jesus, he'll give you anything. Do you hear me? That's the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 said it is the goodness and the kindness of God that causes a man to repent and change his ways. It is when God has shown his goodness to you that you say, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. Remember when the lepers were healed and there were 10 lepers that were healed. One came back and fell at his feet and worshiped him. He said, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? When God has been good to you, go back. Fall at his feet and thank him. He has been good to me. Yeah. He has been good to Doug. He has been good to Christine. He has been good to Ebony. He has been good to Marcia. He has been good. He has been good to us. Brenda, he's been good to you. He has been good to you. Silvio, he's been good to you. Ennis, he's been good to you. Brother Joe, he's been good to you. He's been good to you. He has been good. God is good. Religion keeps us from knowing his goodness. When he found me, I was a teenager, sort of knew about God, but I didn't know him. But when I met him, everything changed. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything changes. Everything. Hallelujah. Everything changes. God's heart, God's daring rescue plan, God's heart toward us is he loves us despite our imperfections. And he says, I will love you even while you are a sinner. I don't want you to stay in that state. I want to bring you out because he is the victor over sin. He's the victor over sin. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and me. That's something that you should carry through this Christmas season. The incarnation matters. It matters that Jesus came in the flesh. It matters that he came for a purpose. It matters that there was a mission on his life to come and die for you. And as a teenage young man, just learning some of these early truths about just walking with God and following Jesus, I was so hungry for the things of God. I read through the New Testament through twice in just a period of a couple of weeks. I was hungry to know him. I want to know you, God. I want to know you. The incarnation makes it possible for you to know a risen Christ. The incarnation makes it possible for you to let that life of God transform your life. And it will transform your life. At the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas special, everybody just kind of like gathers around. It was chaos. But once the scripture was read, the word was spoken. And in that show, the chaos ceased.
Yes, it did.
They began to sing around the Christmas tree. And that puny little Christmas tree was transformed into something beautiful. Why? Because God got involved. When God gets involved in your life, He will transform you. When God gets involved in your life, I'm telling you, He will transform you. You could be going one way, and now you're going a different way. That's how it is. That's how it is. God is so interested in giving you life and giving you life more abundant, better than you ever dreamed, thought, or imagined. God will do that for you. I'm not saying you're not going to run into difficulty. Pastor didn't say that. But what I'm going to tell you is, you're not alone. So if you're having any issues this holiday season where you might be a little anxious, a little fret, remember, we're putting those aside. We're resisting those, right? Let the life of God, the incarnation, affect every part of your being this season. Let the incarnation that Jesus took our punishment so that we could live. He took our punishment so that we can be free to come before God without the sense of guilt or shame or inferiority, as if sin never existed. He is here to restore, to rescue us. And if you will allow His life to flow through you, the incarnation matters. Being God-man, coming in the flesh, dying for our sins and rising from the dead makes a difference. And it will make a difference in your Christmas this season. If you'll allow that life to come out of you, it will spill over into others. When you invite somebody, when you talk to somebody about the things of God, if somebody, you know, mentions a Christmas show or something that they saw and or something they experienced, and you just chime in and talk about the life of God. Can I tell you about the light of men that has come into the world? Jesus is the light. This season, as you're watching Christmas movies, no, they're okay to watch. Okay? They're all right. They're all right because they connect us with faith, values, if you let them. Because what they do is they tell us that on this level of our life, there's not a satisfaction. The reason why we're drawn into these movies is because they're outlandish. They're not real, right? But I got news for you. Jesus is real. And He will never disappoint you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank You for the incarnation. That You are the God-man who came in the flesh. Lord, You existed from the beginning. Lord, that You came to die for us. To rise from the dead for our sins. To change our lives. To give us transformation. And so, Father, I thank You that the incarnation speaks of Your sweetness toward us. God, that You became one of us to rescue us. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that truth would be reinforced in our lives as believers. Father, I pray if there be anybody here today that does not know You, or maybe they've been away from You, God. Maybe they at one time knew You or had a childlike faith, relationship with You, but some things happened in life that maybe soured your thought or soured their thought toward You, God. I pray, Lord, if that's anybody who wants to come home back to the Father's heart this morning, Lord, I pray, God, that You'd minister to them right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just giving people a moment of privacy around you. If that's you, you want to recommit your life to Christ, or you want to know Jesus, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to be connected with our Heavenly Father. The reason that Jesus came was to connect you with the Father heart of God, to let you know the Father. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand in this place and say, "That's me. Pray for me. I want to be connected with Father God." Is there anybody at all? I'm just going to wait a moment. If you're watching online right now and that's you, I want you to pray a simple prayer. We're going to pray together. And we're just going to say this out loud. If you're at home, mean this prayer. And God will meet you right where you're at right now. Just pray this prayer. Father God, I come before You in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who He said He is. that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness in my life today. I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. I confess him today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to know. Please Facebook message us. If you're here in this place and you just wanted to raise your hand but you didn't, and you want special prayer, I'm going to be available just after church right down front here if you want to talk to me. You want special prayer for anything. You want to be prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We believe in an empowered people, that the Holy Spirit is alive and well on planet Earth, and he empowers his people to live this Christian life. And so, if you need to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we believe in the gifts and the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in this church. And so, I'm going to be right down front, and we just want to pray for you, be available to you. So, there's going to be fellowship in the foyer in just a moment, and you'll have that opportunity. But if you need prayer, I'm going to be down here just ministering however you want to come up. And we're just going to just believe God together that this Christmas season is going to be different because of the incarnation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand as we have our sending out verse right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Just look at the screen right there. Let's say this together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We will see you this week.